We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Do you like mysteries? Well, we're going to look at it in Ephesians chapter 3 today. And it's a mystery, not like we think of. It's a mystery that once was hidden, but now it is revealed. And we're going to look at that today, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to come to you each Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock Central Time, with Exploring the Word. And we're in the book of Ephesians, and it's a great study. And yesterday, Alex, we got close to the end of chapter 2. And before you say anything, I want to read verses 21 and 22 because it's kind of a concluding thought here, and then I'll throw it to you. In whom, talking about Jesus, the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also were being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is going to indwell believers, and He's going to put us together. And we've been talking about Jesus being the chief cornerstone, and it's being built on it and built on it. And now we find out the habitation for the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the church. The neat part about this is when the Holy Spirit works in an individual, it's obvious, but then sometimes when the anointing power of the Holy Spirit comes up on a group of people and you just sense His presence and His power, and I believe what Paul was saying in the book of Ephesians, this is what needs to happen to the church. We've been talking about a revival. I believe if the Holy Spirit of God could have this position of Him working in our lives and through our lives, we would see God do great things, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Well, Bert, it's great to be with you and great to have this wonderful privilege called Exploring the Word, and we're in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. Let me read this again, because, and I know we have really, as you and I go, we've kind of spent a long time on a lot of these verses and words. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Bert, in the wood shop, have you ever seen a joiner, or maybe when people make drawers, they'll cut certain joint patterns, like a dovetail joint, and the boards just fit together so tightly and so perfectly. Have you ever seen that?
Now, if you're looking for furniture and you're looking for something with drawers, you want to find one that has the dovetail to it. You don't want it just stuck together at the end, even glued or screwed. The dovetail is what you want. It fitly joins together and gives it strength, doesn't it, Alex?
It really does. It really does. You know, sometimes with a table router, you can cut grooves, and woodworking is such a beautiful thing. Anyway, the word fitly, F-I-T-L-Y, in Ephesians 2:21, it's kind of like that. It could mean compacted together, and you've seen, you know, like if you shake something down, you know, maybe on a box of cereal, it'll say, contents may have settled during shipping. But this is such a beautiful word, and Bert, I'll throw it back to you. Speaking of the church, it's so beautiful when a church, you know, there's those that can teach and those that administrate and those that are gifted with music and just everybody, you know, doing what God gave them the strength and skill to do. But the word fitly framed together there literally means joined together in harmony. part of the word, it does mean jointed together, fitted together. But the other half of that word is harmonious. And Bert, the body of Christ or the local congregation itself, when we are fitted together, we have Jesus in common, but we're fitted together in harmony. Is that not a beautiful thing?
It is a beautiful thing. And when it happens, it is awesome. I've pastored many years, close to 40 years, full-time pastor, a now interim pastor, but we've had months in churches where you talking about working together, seeing the Holy Spirit just do a work in our lives and in people's lives. I remember one such week, each day of the week, Monday through Friday, we had people dropping by. Some of them were expected, some of them were unexpected, being saved and growing in the Lord. It was an amazing thing when the Holy Spirit of God is working in such a way, drawing us together. Now, notice that word, same word, is used in verse 22, in whom you also were being built together for the habitation of the God in the Spirit. Alex, there's one accord. They had all things common. There's something about, isn't it pleasant for brothers, sisters in the Lord to dwell together in peace? And it should be the peace of God, not peace of just saying, well, we'll get along to get along. No, following Jesus Christ. And that's what this chapter is built up to, Alex, talking about Jesus being the cornerstone, Jesus being Lord. And when that happens, it's not just in the individual, but it's in the individuals, plural, and we see God fitting them together for the purpose of what? Glorification of the Lord God. That's what we want, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, I got to say this, one of the great stories, I think, really, of the church age itself has been the story of Cliff Barrows, George Beverly Shea, and Billy Graham. And Bert, did you ever read the story of how they came together and they formed the Billy Graham ministry? And Cliff Barrows was a song leader, but he had a lot of administrative gifts too. A lot of people maybe don't realize what he did in terms of administration. And Bev Shea as well. And there were some other people like Grady Wilson and T.W. Wilson and some wonderful people. And it was our privilege on a number of occasions to spend some time with Cliff Barrows. And here's the thing. They came together, and I'm speaking in terms of like this jointed together, united together. And in 6 decades of ministry, I never met Billy Graham, but Bev Shea and Cliff Barrows a number of times. And they said, you know, they ministered, and in more than 6 decades, never, ever had a cross word. And part of that was because they were united in their purpose. They had one purpose, and that was the Great Commission. And, you know, the unity in the body of Christ is such a precious thing to remember. We're saved by God's grace. We're called for God's purposes. We're privileged to walk alongside each other and work together. I mean, who has time to rock the boat, you know?
Amen, Alex. Listen, we need to spend time doing what we should. If we'll do that, then the things we shouldn't do will not have near as much time in our life. Now, you're always going to have those battles. You got to know when to not speak. God's given us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a good, good reason. And I know that's cliche-ish, but it's so true, Alex. And the Bible talks about being slow to speak and fast to hear and quick to hear what they're saying. And so here it is together, being built together. The word, the whole building, built. And we're not through with that term a little bit. Paul's going to use it even in chapter, a reference to it in his prayer in chapter 3. But here it also introduces chapter 3. Notice what it says, chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, okay, this fitly joined together. Now, this is powerful when you know about what he's going to do. He's going to be, and I'm going to give it right ahead, and that way people will know where we're headed. Fitly joined together, and for this reason, he's talking about how the Gentiles and the Jews come together in the church. Now, it was a mystery in the past. Now, Gentiles could always be saved. Rahab was saved. Ruth was saved. Others were saved. But in doing so, they became a part of the Jewish community, worshiping one God and doing the things that God had asked them to do. When Ruth said, your God will be my God, you know, your people will be my people. But Alex, here he is taking the Jews and the Gentiles and making a whole new body, the church. It was hidden in the past, but it is revealed. Let me read the rest of that. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation or the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he, God, made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand by knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of the holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles, now listen to this, verse 6, I've got it highlighted, I've got it underlined in my Bible both, Alex, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Alex, a whole new, that mystery is been hidden, and now it's been revealed, and they're one body. And that's what he was talking about being fit together in chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. God is doing that. No longer the division in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. It's not talking about that we don't become, it's that we're in Christ and we're joined together. How? And you said it well, fittingly, strong, fit together to do the work that God's called us to do, Alex.
Amen. You know, in Luke chapter 20, Jesus told the disciples, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Remember, he said, do not rejoice that spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And, you know, one of the things about the gospel and the church, I mean, the Christian worldview is so unique that, one, you know, with the incarnation, Christ, Almighty God, came onto the stage of human history. I mean, I was a college student, and I was in literature, and I remember as a brand new believer, I was reading and grasping that Jesus is God incarnate, and I thought, oh my goodness, the author wrote himself into the play. This is amazing. But folks, here's another thing to rejoice over. Rejoice, Gentile believer, that God made a place in the story for us. It, you know, unto the Jews were committed the oracles of God. And yet, and Bert, I think when it says in verse 3 that this was a mystery of the gospel, and verse 4, the mystery of Christ, I really think to pious Jews, the idea that the profane Gentiles could be grafted into the family of God, I mean, that was kind of mind-boggling. But here's the thing, not Jew or Gentile, not American or European or whatever. Folks, here's the thing, not your economic standing, not your family history, not your accomplishments. We rejoice in this reality that we are the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, what, you know, when it says the mystery of the church and the mystery of the gospel, it doesn't mean like eerie and mysterious. But I think it's just more than we can adequately express how in the sovereignty of God and by the grace and love of God, he made it possible for us to be redeemed.
It was not known in other ages, according to verse 5, but now he has made it known unto us. That mystery that was hidden, the Gentiles and Jews on equal footing in Christ Jesus, but it's a reality. And he's going to share that and even more about what we have in Christ Jesus. Don't go away. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
when a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. Alex and Bert, so honored that you're listening. Hey, I'm going to give the telephone number because in a few moments we will open up the phones. We would love to hear from you if you've got a Bible question. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Bert, let me read. You know, before the break we were talking about how Gentiles, Jews, grafted into one family through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the mystery of the gospel, and just how multifaceted, how inexhaustible the love of God, the sovereignty of God, the wisdom of God. Verse 5 speaks about this just immeasurably beautiful reality called the gospel, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Paul says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, here's what Paul says, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Bert, I said this the other day, but I mean, this is just so poetic. I mean, this is God's word, but it's there's just a majesty and a beauty to this word, isn't it?
It is, because the reaction is beautiful. It is beyond anything that could be described that we would be brought into this relationship with a living God, our Creator, now our Redeemer, and He puts Gentiles and Jews on level footing. You remember? You've said it, I've said it, we heard it from somewhere in times past, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And so here it is, fellow heirs. Okay, we have the same inheritance. Now that we're in Christ, in the church, they don't get more than I do, I don't get more than they do. And then it says, the same body, not two different ones. No longer is that division, the middle wall or partition was torn down. And also now that we, nothing dividing that Jew and that Gentile when they come to Christ, and partakers of his promise. Listen, the promises that the Jews had, the Messiah would come, he gave it to Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Now, they were blessed before the church. Let me get that straight. But now, because of this mystery that was unknown but now revealed, we're in equal positions in Christ, fellow heirs, the same body, partakers of the same promise. Alex, as you said, it's beautiful, but more than beautiful, it is real. It's a beautiful reality that in Christ we're in this position, and it is through the gospel of Jesus Christ, only through Christ. He does away with all those divisions. He does away with all of that that would keep us apart. We're one in Christ. And let me just share this, and I wanted to get this in, so now's a good time. Paul had started out in Tarsus, but Barnabas came and got him and brought him to Antioch. And when you look at Antioch, there was a model church, and you read who the elders were, the leaders, the deacons were, whoever they were Jew and Gentile. It looked like there was some from this continent, another continent, and possibly three different continents right there in that one place in Antioch. And that was what Paul not only had been taught, I believe, but then he saw it firsthand in Antioch. You know, this is what it should be. And so he is sent out all to the Roman Empire, and he would go to the synagogue first, if there was one, except in Philippi there wasn't one, but he found out where the Jews were worshiping, and then he would bring them together, the God-fearers that knew there was one God, and the Jews, and he would preach Christ to them, and they'd be saved, and he came to them, and they were separated, but when he left, they were one in Christ. It's a beautiful story, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, I love in verse 8, there's the word unsearchable, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the word there, you know, there's a lot we could say about the word, but it really means you cannot trace the steps of it, you know, beyond completely comprehending. And so much we could say there, but look, the love of God, the power of God. Bert, I was watching a program on one of the science channels, and they were talking about the cell. The microscopes delve into the smallest little particles of plant and animal life, and the cell is, you know, there's information storage and there's replication, and they were talking about how this microscopic little entity is so full of activity. And then they said, you look out to the solar system and the stars, and they said at the microcosmic level and at the macrocosmic level, this universe is simply unsearchable.
Yeah.
And I thought this, if the creation is fascinating beyond description, how much more the creator that made it?
Amen.
And that's why, look, here's a simple thing. Jesus loves you, and Jesus wants to forgive your sin, and Jesus wants you to have a home in heaven with him eternally. And the way you do that is you put your faith in Christ, and you say, Dear Lord, I believe in you, and you are God incarnate, and you died on the cross for me. And Lord, please wash my sin away and save my soul. Do you know, folks, whoever you are, whatever your journey has been, if you put your trust in Jesus, like verse 6 says, you will become part of the body of believers. And eternity, hey, eternity, that seems like a long time. It'll take that long to even begin to get our mind around the love and the power and the majesty of our Savior. A lot we could say there. But let me read verse 9.
Let me say one word about the unsearchable. Yeah. Another word is unfathomable. In other words, the depths cannot be reached. But it is so simple, and I forgot who it was that said it. It is so deep, great theologians can never research the depth, the unfathomableness of Christ's riches. But a child can come to him and know him. Alex, that's the majesty of this relationship that people can have in Christ Jesus. I just wanted to get that in.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, inexhaustible. You know, I can't do this justice, but they talk about some of the people in the last few years that have gotten, you know, wealthy. And there are several people in the world that are billionaires for whatever business, technology or whatever. And I remember reading about one of these guys. I don't remember if it was Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or one of the super billionaires, but they were saying if this guy spent $1 million a minute, it would take like 200 years to deplete their bank account or something, just beyond description. But here's the thing, that's our Savior times a million. And that's why, you know, every now and then I've shared the gospel with somebody and they'll say, well, you know, hell is where all my friends will be or something like that. Please don't believe that foolish lie. Heaven and the city of God and eternity with the Savior. Bert, I really think this life is going to just be one grain of sand compared to the size of a mountain. Human history goes back 6 to 10,000 years, but eternity and the mansions, he's gone to prepare a place for us, and he wants you to be a part of that. That's how much he loves us. Verse 9 says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Here's another one of these superlative words, the multifaceted or the manifold, ample, inexhaustible wisdom of God. It's humbling, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. When you say that, I can't help but see what Isaiah saw when he was called. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and around him the seraphim, and they would cry, holy, holy, holy. I'm trying to paint a picture. He's on the throne. It's beyond description. But the seraphim with their wings, they cover their eyes, their feet, and with two they do fly. But no matter where they're from, as they're flying around the throne, holy, they go a little piece, holy, another, holy. Not only just one, but all of them. Everything about God is beyond anything we could even ask or think. That's the word manifold. It is beyond anything. All the adjectives in the world, one of the greatest people I ever heard preach use an adjective was a man called R.G. Lee. He was the pastor at Bellevue Church when it became the mega church, and man, he could preach. Did you ever get to hear R.G. Lee preach, Alex?
Not in person, but I'm well familiar with him.
Okay. He could use adjectives. I heard him introduce a sermon one time, and he started with the alphabet saying, the world says sin is amorous. God says it's awful. And he did that all the way through A to Z with words in comparison.
Oh, my word.
It was something.
Yeah.
Man, you was drawn in. But manifold, it is beyond anything more than the wisdom of God might be known by the church. Alex, we're just getting a little glimpse of his holiness. We're getting a little glimpse of his love, but it's beyond description. It is beyond belief, beyond all that we could even ask or think according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That
Amen.
Is who he is. And that's what we have in Christ once we come. That's who we have, the Holy Spirit coming and bringing himself into our lives, indwelling us. We have this God of this magnitude, this big, this awesome, living in us. That's who we are as followers of Christ.
Amen. It's amazing. And, you know, thank God for, you know, there have been great scholars, past and present, renowned leaders, past and present. But look, the little child who knows that Jesus loves them, the grandmother who's been faithful for years. Look, we are equal in Christ. That's like Paul back here in verse 8. He said he was less than the least of all the saints.
Yeah.
And he wrote half the New Testament. Now, But it is very humbling because, look, we are who we are in Christ. Now, this is the beautiful thing, and forgive me, and we'll go to verse 11. But so much of the Christian life, there are kind of two sides to the coin. There's salvation, but then there's Christian growth. And then there's, you know, God's sovereign plan, but then there's human responsibility. And salvation is not by works. It's a gift. But everything post-salvation, we are supposed to work and be disciplined and invest in our Christian growth. And the beautiful thing, you say, well, my goodness, I'm not the Apostle Paul or Billy Graham. Well, you don't have to be. but you are supposed to be the most sanctified you that you can be. You know what
Amen.
I mean?
Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. We're to be, and with that, I'm going to read verse 11 and following through verse 13 because it changes in verse 14 that we'll take up tomorrow with a prayer. But listen to verse 11, and it goes along with just exactly what you said. According to the eternal purpose, that's God's purpose for you, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, listen to this, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Now, what was he? He started that in verse 1. I'm a prisoner. I was wondering, if God is so big and God is so good, how could Paul be in prison? He's answered that. He's using me. And the answer is his eternal purpose. Alex, you said it. I've said it. God gives us our origin. He gives us our purpose, and he gives us our destiny. Wow. You don't get that anywhere else, do you?
You really don't. And that's why the Christian life, please do not believe the devil's lie that Christianity is boring or irrelevant or restrictive. Let me tell you, as Paul said, the day you are truly set free is when you become the bond slave of Jesus Christ. The day that your heart and your dreams will come true is the day that you subordinate your agenda to God's perfect plan.
Amen.
You know? And that's why it is tragic that the devil has deceived people into thinking that they should run away from God's call and God's plan. Everything you dream for yourself, every goal and the fulfillment, the peace, just the joy, the gratification that you're looking for, where are you going to find it? In putting your life in the hands of Jesus Christ.
Alex, as we come to the close of this segment, that number, if you want to call, is 888-589-8840. The lines are open, and we'd love to have your Bible question. But listen to this last in verse 13. Do not lose heart. Now, Paul was in prison. People's looking around, they said, I'd never seen anything like this. This is worse than anything. People don't know if they're male or female. They don't know what marriage is. The economy is gone. Do not lose heart. God is still on the throne, and his eternal purpose will be realized in Christ Jesus. We'll be back right after this break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We heard on American Family Radio about the opportunity to participate in a charitable gift annuity. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, Riley, Chelsea, and their crew that they work with, and they were very caring, very easy to work with, and with no pressure whatsoever. They guided us through the process and made it a very easy thing to do.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The cascading protests from Ivy League campuses to university campuses all around the country are nothing more than an importation of Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution, which transformed China into a communist nation, to the United States. Just as Mao's revolution targeted Chinese college campuses, regressives in our own nation have descended upon American campuses with the same goal in mind. Soros-funded adjutants are using Israel's efforts to annihilate the terrorists who massacred their citizens and took hundreds captive as an excuse to advance their revolution. As Obama's former chief of staff said, "You never let a crisis go to waste."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
You are strong and mighty. There's no one else like you. You are great and powerful. No one can do the things you do. You're the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great God.
Amen. He is a great God. That's what we've been talking about today in Ephesians chapter 3. And if you need to get more of it, we have our podcast. You can go to AFR.net and go to podcast, scroll down to Exploring the Word, pick the date, and you can listen. And I'm not just saying this. This one is worth listening to again because the riches that we have in Christ are they're unsearchable, and that's straight out. By the way, Alex, we're on Facebook, and according to our Facebook mogul, Brent, we have 8,500 followers, and,
wow.
And he's asking us to get to 9,000. Let me give an incentive, and I alluded to it yesterday. My wife and I are coming up on 50 years of marriage, and if you want to look, you want to know what Bert Harper looked like 50 years ago, and you may not want to do that. We may have some people defriend us if they see that. But anyway, we're going to put up our wedding picture in the next few days of mine and Jan's wedding 50 years ago. And I'm not sure if we're going to put what we look like today. But anyway, we'll do that. So join us on Facebook. Like us. Be a part of that. They're saying 9,000. I'm going to up it a little bit. Let's go to 10,000, see what we
Amen.
Can do. But anyway, I wanted to throw that in. But
that's wonderful.
Okay. Are you ready? Go ahead, Alex.
I want to say this, by the way. I know we have a lot of listeners in my home state of North Carolina. Today's a special day because the North Carolina House approved a bill that would define anti-Semitism. There is something called it's basically called the Shalom Act, and the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, IHRA, has a definition of anti-Semitism. And Bert, as of about a month ago, something like 43 states had passed it. And today in the North Carolina House, and the vote was 105-4. So four people voted against it. But it basically says we as a state, we condemn the violence and hatred against the Jewish people. We understand the definition of anti-Semitism, the Holocaust, and we stand for the Jewish people and against anti-Semitism. So I was kind of ashamed that my home state was one of the last states to pass it, but 105-4 it passed. And so, Bert, we believe in the rights of all people, and certainly we believe in standing for the rights of Jewish people, don't we?
Amen. We do, and AFR does, Exploring the Word, and we do, and we pray for them. We want the Jewish people to be saved. We thank God for the Jewish people that have been saved, and that's what we've been talking about in chapter 3. It is great. It's time to go to the phone. We got about 5 or 4 ready to go, so let's go to the phone lines.
Shelley in Indiana, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word. Hi, Shelley.
Shelley, be sure and turn your phone, make your radio off there. Shelley, you're down. Shelley, are you there?
Yep.
Go ahead, Shelley.
So my question is, came from David Jeremiah's sermon this morning, where he was talking about Matthew 24, that talks about one will be taken and one will be left. And I've heard two different versions of this. The ones taken are with Jesus and the ones left are not. And I've heard another version of the ones left are the ones that are going to be with Jesus. So I just wanted some clarification on that because I've heard two different stories.
Let me just share this with you, Shelley. That I've heard it as well, and it's according to who you're reading. I've read some godly people that disagree with that, but the picture of it is, you know, things are going to be going on just like they always, as it was in the days of Noah. They were living their life, they were married and giving in marriage, they were making plans for the future, and all of a sudden that flood came, and it's talking about, again, that immediacy of it. And the one taken is a good picture of what will take place one day, Alex. Mm-hmm. I know that. It's a picture. It's a good picture of the rapture. Now, put it in that context. I've heard people disagree on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, a really good book on this is called The King is Coming by H.L. Wilmington. Harold Wilmington, The King is Coming. But, yeah, I mean, I think the main point about this, yeah, I do think it's a good description of like the rapture. Two women are grinding at the mill and one will be taken and the other left, as in left behind, verse 41 of Matthew 24. But I think the main point of it is that Christ is coming and there's going to be a separation of the wheat and the chaff, the sheep and the goats. But we may very well be near that time. And the way we're ready is through faith in Christ. John in Arkansas. John, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, glad to hear from you. I'm glad you took my call.
Yes.
My question is, we're supposed to adhere to the Word of God. We're not supposed to add to or take away. My question refers to baptism, and in the Word of God, everywhere I read, according to those being baptized, both went down into the water. At what point do we separate ourselves from the Word of God? Like my church believes it has a tub up on the stage and the person being baptized goes into the water and if the other person stands out, is that adding to or taking away from the Word of God?
John, listen, the baptism is a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's a statement of faith that my sins have been washed away. I've been raised up a new person. It's the person that is being baptized that it's the picture, wherever that other person might be. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah. Two things. Let me say, John, and thank you for your fidelity to God's word. You know, Galatians 3:27 talks about that by faith we are baptized into Christ. So understand that the New Testament uses baptism in a couple of senses. One, there is water baptism that is the public way we show that we've put our faith in Christ. But there is the fact that when you are you put your faith in Jesus and are born again, you are baptized into Christ by faith. Now, in terms of a tub of water up on the stage. Bert, when we were in the Holy Land, we saw the excavation of a couple of first century churches where at the back they had, and I actually got to step down in one of these. It was empty, but it was a baptismal pool, much like would be in a church. And it, they called it a mikveh, but they didn't baptize always in the Jordan River. They began to build into church buildings what you and I would say is a baptismal. Bert, I don't think it matters if it's a galvanized tub that you bought at the farm store or the baptismal built into the sanctuary. The water baptism is the way that we publicly show before the church and a watching world the salvation that's taken place once we put our faith in Jesus.
Amen. That's it. And those who are listening, Jesus Christ, He is the way. There's no other way except through Him. Go ahead, Alex.
Alexis in Mississippi. Alexis, you are on Exploring the Word.
Hey, Bert and Alex. So I called last week. This is my second time calling, by the way. My first time calling was last week, I think, about being too shy to possibly witness to people. And my question today is, if we just don't happen to witness anybody or lead anybody to Christ, could we still get into heaven?
Listen, faith in Jesus Christ is the essential. And we covered this, yesterday. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of works. But I want to say, hey, do you love, you know that song, Alex, don't want to go empty-handed? You want to take somebody with you, don't you?
You do. Alexis, getting to heaven is purely, completely, exclusively the issue of did you put your faith in Jesus? There'll be millions of people in heaven that never led a soul to Christ. However, I do think if you've been born again, it is something that being a witness, every Christian should do that, and every Christian can. And that's why I was mentioning, and I've emailed several listeners, I mentioned Bill Bright's book, Witnessing Without Fear, and a modern-day Christian classic by Rebecca Manley Pippert, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World.
Amen.
And by the way, let me just mention this, and it was my joy to go through this book in great, great depth, not only in seminary, but in terms of teaching at the Billy Graham School of Evangelism, a book by Robert Coleman called The Master Plan of Evangelism. Bert, I really think that could revitalize any church. But Alexis, getting saved, going to heaven, the only question, did a person accept Christ? So whether or not you've led a person to Christ, every believer is going to go to heaven. But if you are a believer, being a witness is something worth cultivating, and it certainly is something I think the Lord will help you with. Bill in Virginia. Bill, thanks for holding, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate y'all responding to me. I've been taken by the pool at Bethesda for some years, and just 15 minutes ago, I compared John 5, verse 4 in three different translations and came up with some great discrepancies. Do you comment on that, or shall I elaborate a little bit further?
Alex, this is talking about the pool of Bethesda. The angel went down to a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, again, go ahead, Alex.
Well, yeah, you know, this is a fascinating account. And by the way, the word Bethesda means house of mercy. And, you know, there's been discussion about, like, what did this really mean about an angel would stir up the water, and whoever was first after the stirring of the water would be made whole. Now, Jesus, you know, dialogues with a man there who had been there for 38 years. Bert, I've read different commentaries that say, you know, maybe this was some kind of a legend or something. It sounds a little unusual, and I'm not sure that it was anything that was the will of God. I don't know if it was, you know, this wasn't exactly the way people got healed. And it does sound like there was some maybe competition. Whoever, here's the water. Jump in. Whoops, we missed it. You know, I think that this is just the reference of the Pool of Bethesda. It's not so much about the phenomenon of this pool, but it's the fact that Jesus ends up healing this man. He says, would you be made whole? And the guy says, well, sir, I have no one to put me in the water when it's trouble. Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. You know, I'm not exactly sure what the question is, but healing is of God, not some mysterious local phenomenon.
And how he does it is up to him. He would put mud in the eye. Sometimes he did it twice. Sometimes he would touch. Sometimes he would verbalize. It's just like the healing today. All healing is from God. Now, how he chooses, he can do it by speaking a word, answer a prayer, or he can say, go to this doctor. No, take this treatment. Do this. That is God's business. I have no trouble with an angel coming down, God having mercy on them at a certain time. That's just me, Alex. So I have no trouble with that whatsoever, because God can heal the way he desires to do so. The way he heals our soul is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. There may be alternatives to physical healing, but there are no alternatives to spiritual healing. It's only through Christ.
Amen. Well said. Well said. Well, Carolyn in Missouri, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program. Carolyn? Hello,
Carolyn. Hello, I'm here.
Yes.
I'm here. I'm sorry about that. Thank you. My question is, I'm a little upset over this, but anyway, I grew up in church, and I grew up that if you believe in something, like if it's against the Bible, against God, then you are committing that sin. I am taking care of my disabled mother that had a stroke. She keeps the television on CNN, and I keep trying to talk to her about it and tell her, Mom, you cannot do that. Now, am I wrong or am I right? If you believe, okay, if you agree with same-sex marriage, isn't that committing sin? Or if you agree with the other things that's going on, transgender or whatever, isn't that just like us committing a sin or not?
Carolyn, first of all, taking care of your mother, thank you for doing so. There's a lot of times that does not take place. But any time this happens, especially after you have described the difficulty she's had as she has come into your house, there's going to have to be some grace there. And listen, every once in a while, I'll listen to CNN just to see what their format is. It doesn't take me long to figure it out, Alex. I'll put it that way, and get it off. But no, Carolyn, you know, if you have a choice, yeah, turn it. But there needs to be some peace there, especially with that circumstance with her mother, Alex.
Mm. God bless you, and our prayers are with you. Shirley in Tennessee. Shirley, I am so sorry. We're just about out of time. I know you had a comment on anti-Semitism. Shirley, please call in tomorrow, and we will try to put you at the top of the queue. But, Bert, you know what? Whether it's dealing with family members, dealing with the Word of God, and being a witness, salt and light in this culture, more than ever, we need people to build their worldview on the Word of God.
Amen.
And stand up for the biblical perspective on all issues.
Well, this is one reason you like to listen to American Family News. They'll give you that biblical worldview. And so stand with Jesus, speak about Jesus, tell others about Jesus, and listen to Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today.
go to preborn.com.